Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Thank you for that special. And thank God we have an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast. Romans chapter 13 is where we've come in our text. Some of you may have forgotten, we're actually doing a study through Acts. But as we've gone through Acts, we come to a place where a book was written, a letter was written. We've stepped out of Acts to get that in the context it was given. So we've surveyed a lot of books, and Romans obviously is a big undertaking, and it's slowed us down quite a bit, but I hope it's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me. Amazing, wonderful, great truths that God's given us through this book. Last week, we came to chapter 12 and really get into the practicalities. Chapters 1 through 11 really deal with the principles, truths about salvation, and how God's going to deal with Israel. But we are into the practicalities now and things that we need to do because of the truth. So when you understand that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that you have no justification by your works, but it's only through faith in Jesus, because of that reality, it ought to change the way that you live. Our beliefs determine our behaviors. And so as we start getting to the practicalities, we're going to talk about this, that we ought to owe no one anything but love. And we're going to get into that, learn a little bit about authority today too. So let's stand together if you're able. We're going to start with verses 1 through 7. How many of you in the room today are Americans? Could I see your hands? Just raise your hands. Okay, all right, Americans, listen, you're not going to like this today. You're welcome. Because this passage of Scripture tells us to obey authority. And as Americans, we don't like that. As a matter of fact, you could argue that we wouldn't exist as a nation if it wasn't for the fact that some people don't like to obey authority. But here we are today, and we want to obey God. We want to do what God's Word says. So I pray you'll open your heart and let God speak to you today. Let's pray together, and then we'll read the text. I'm going to ask, if you would, Brother Nelson, will you lead us in this word of prayer? Amen. While you're still standing, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers or authorities, for there is no power or authority but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Listen, not eternal damnation, but judgment here and now, judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power or authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Amen. Please be seated. Here's the takeaway from verses 1 through 7. Submit yourself to God-ordained authorities. Submit yourself to God-ordained authorities. The authorities that exist in this world today are ordained by God. In other words, no one has a position of power or authority in any nation or any state or any province or any county or any city or town. There are no authorities that exist on this planet unless God gives them that authority. Somebody say amen. I know it's an election time and some of you are scared to death about how things are going to go. But whoever is the president of the United States of America, that is ordained by God. Amen. They can't get there without God. Okay, so this was written at a time when Rome was in power. Would you say that, biblically speaking, Rome was a good authority or a bad authority? Bad, that's right. That's right, kids. The Romans were godless pagans. They hated the Christians, and they only tolerated the Jews as long as they didn't cause any trouble. The Romans were not a good authority, biblically speaking, and yet Paul is writing to people under Roman rule, and he said, the authorities that exist in your world today, they are ordained by God, so be subject to the authorities, because when you are subject to them, you are being subject to God, and when you resist that authority, you are resisting, ultimately, God. We understand that, don't we? All right. What's the first commandment with promise? Honor your mother and your father. Your days may be long upon the earth. Why? Because if you don't obey and honor your parents, they will kill you. Amen? Maybe. Okay? We understand that we want our children to honor their mother and father because God said so. We understand we want our children to grow up and learn to respect the authorities that are placed above them in their life so that they can live a good and peaceable life and be good citizens of our country. We understand that beyond that, if they learn to respect the authority at home and authority outside of the home, that they'll learn to respect and obey the ultimate authority, which is God. You guys get that, right? From an early age, we want our kids to learn that. But something happens along the way. We become adults and we don't want to honor authority anymore. Now, I can already hear some of you waiting for the exceptions because we do understand that we have to obey God above mankind. So let me get these out of the way real quick and then we'll really focus on what I think we need to hear. Acts chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Peter and John have been preaching in the temple. The authorities at the temple had told them not to be preaching in the name of Jesus anymore. In Acts 5, 28, they said, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Isn't that ironic? You remember what they said before they crucified Jesus? His blood be on us and on our children. And now, when the disciples are preaching that reality, that they killed the King of Glory, now they don't want his blood on them anymore. And so Peter and John keep preaching Jesus. We told you not to do that anymore. And what do they say? Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Okay? So we understand from what Paul is teaching in Romans 13 that we ought to obey and submit ourselves to the authorities that are over us. We also understand that you can't just take that alone, because if the law says you can't preach Jesus, what do? You preach Jesus anyway. If the law says you can no longer worship God in the way prescribed in the scriptures, what do? You worship him anyway. If the law says you can't own a Bible or read a Bible or share the Bible or preach to others the gospel or be a witness, what do? You do all of those things anyway. Okay, we have precedent in Scripture, both here we see in the New Testament and also the Old Testament. Do you remember when Pharaoh told the midwives to kill the Hebrew baby boys? And do you remember what they did? They saved the men children alive. Why? Because they feared God. And they didn't do what the king of Egypt said, but they feared God and they saved those baby boys alive. We can go all the way to Daniel. Daniel's got a couple of classic examples. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What were they supposed to do? Well, they were supposed to bow down and worship, right? Daniel chapter 3. Verse 16, Those boys answered the king and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. If the government says, bow down and worship a false god or an image, what do? Well, you don't bow down and worship it. You serve God alone. Daniel, they tried to find a way to trip him up, and they couldn't find anything except it was concerning his God. They made a law and a decree that you could only pray falsely, only to the king. And Daniel 6 and verse 10 said, Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, the law was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. When the law said you can only pray to the king, Daniel kept praying to God. So, is there a time that we defy the law? Is there a time to defy tyrants? Is there a time to defy unjust, unbiblical laws? Absolutely, there is. And it's only when those laws are directly contradictory to the things that God's word says. That's it. And so we have to, if you're going to do that, then you're going to have to know what the Bible says. I can't say I'm doing what God's word says above what the law says unless I know what the Bible says. So you better be in your Bible studying it and knowing, because you don't want to be disobeying the commands from Romans 13 unless you have actual biblical reason to. Is that fair enough? All right. Submit yourselves to God-ordained authorities. Are there exceptions at times? Absolutely. Now, I hear people say this in my life. Well, if the government tried to take away our Bibles, they'd have to pry my Bible from my cold, dead hand. Ever heard that before? Yeah, I know you say it about your guns, too, but your guns and your Bibles. Listen, your Bible would have to actually be in your hand for the government to have to pry it out of your hand. You can't start reading your Bible when the government says you can't do it anymore. We need to be like Daniel. He didn't start praying when the authority said don't pray. He had been praying like that all the time. He just kept doing what he had always done. So pray, and pray now, and when the government says you can't pray, keep praying. And study your Bible now. And when the government says you can't study your Bible, study it anyway. And be a witness for Jesus and tell other people about Jesus. And when the government says you can't do it, you keep doing it anyway. And I know some of you are like, well, I don't have to worry about that. We have freedom here. But friends, it is coming. It's coming. People are being arrested in other countries, and our nation is not far behind them. You can be arrested in the UK today for making posts on Facebook. Earlier last year, a lady was arrested in the UK, the United Kingdom, for praying silently outside of an abortion clinic. She didn't say anything to anyone. She stood with her head bowed praying, and they arrested her. You guys with me right now? And how many of you, I don't think anybody's still asleep to this point. You understand that if it happened there, it will happen here, right? Nobody's still thinking, well, that would never happen here. If you're still thinking that would never happen here, you better wake up. Better wake up. So submit, because the authorities that exist are ordained of God. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resists the power, the authority, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, I know when you see the word damnation, I hope your heart skips a beat, and you're like, oh no, you should be concerned. That's a serious word, but he's not talking about eternal damnation. He's talking about judgment. In other words, if you break the law, you are going to be judged by the law. All right? Let me think of an example that somebody might know about. One time I was driving in Gore, Oklahoma, and I was going faster than the speed limit. Now, I know none of you have ever done that before, but I did. And the nice officer who pulled me over, he gave me some great instruction for life that I needed. When he pulled me over, he pointed to the stop, to the speed limit sign, and he leaned in my vehicle and pointed to the speedometer inside, and he said, "Now you see, son, those signs up there? You need to make sure this thing right here doesn't go over those." I found that very instructive and helpful. And I wanted to say, "Could you please just give me my ticket and go away?" But no, he was having a good time. "Pedaling a little fast there, weren't you, son?" "No, sir, I weren't pedaling at all." I didn't say that, but I sure wanted to. Listen, if you see those speed limit signs and you go faster than what they say, then you may be required to pay the fine. Now, that's an easy example, and almost everybody in this room that's driving has been guilty of breaking that one. And when you do so, you better be ready to pay the price. But there are a lot more serious laws. And if you break the law, you better be ready and willing and able to pay the price. Right? Why? Because this minister that God has established, God calls him a minister of God. These people in authority that God has placed, he doesn't put them there in vain. They don't bear the sword in vain. They're a minister of God. This is verse 4, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. When you break the law is supposed to go into effect and punish those who break the law, those who do evil. It's what they're there for. So submit because of the wrath that God has allowed them to execute on those who do evil. But then in verse 5, verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, because you're afraid of what might happen. Now, just real quick, let's use the speeding example again. How many of you guys don't speed because you're scared of getting a ticket? There's like three of you. Liar. There's a couple of you. There's a couple of you that don't speed because you're scared of getting a ticket, and that's good. And there's others of you that you speed until you get to where you know the cops sit. Right? Right. Because you're afraid of the wrath. So don't go against, don't resist, don't disobey. Because of wrath, because of the fear of the judgment, but also for conscience sake. What does that have to do with conscience? Well, because when you realize that these people are ordained of God, you're not only resisting them and in danger of judgment, but you are resisting God, and for a clear conscience that I'm doing what God wants me to do, when I obey the law of the land, I'm not only obeying the law, I'm ultimately obeying God. And it's hard to have a clear conscience when you know you're rebelling against not just the law of the land, but against the God who gave them authority. So be subject. Submit yourself because of wrath and because of conscience sake. Verse 6 and 7, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute, to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So what does this mean? Give everyone their due. Tribute is that terrible word we all hate. Taxes. Taxes. Pay your taxes. He also talks about custom. This is what we might call a toll or a levy. So you pay your taxes and you pay your tolls. You give fear or respect to those who deserve fear and respect. You give honor to those who ought to be given honor. This is what the Lord teaches us to do. And this isn't just something that Paul made up. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 22 to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's. So they came to Jesus and they asked him, should we pay tribute to Caesar? Because the Jews were under God. God was their authority, and they didn't like being under the control of Rome. And so the Jews would debate about whether they ought to pay taxes or not. Have you ever had any Christians who did that? Whether we ought to pay taxes or not? Jesus is my king. Why would I pay taxes to the government? I think there are people who debate that, probably people who don't pay their taxes because of that. But what did Jesus teach? Well, he said, well, bring me a coin. And he says, whose image is on the coin? What did they say? Caesar's. Well, that's a picture of Caesar right there. And the Lord said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God's. Well, there's a beautiful picture here, isn't there? Whose image are you made in? Whose image is on you? We are made in the image of God. God's image is on us. Jesus wasn't just teaching to pay taxes. He was teaching, give Caesar his, give him his coins. But he's teaching you to give yourself to God, because God's image is on you. Isn't that good? And Jesus was always teaching what was there and so much more, if we'll just pay attention. So Jesus taught to pay taxes. He also gave us an example. When they came to him and wanted to know about whether they paid the temple tax or not, he told Peter how to go find a miraculous catch. Do you guys remember this? Peter and Jesus owed the temple tax. And so he sent Peter down to put in a hook, and he brought out a fish, and inside the fish's mouth was a gold coin, or a coin, probably a silver coin, actually. You guys remember that story? Okay, cool. When I go throw a hook in, I can't catch a fish or any money. Doesn't go catch anything. He got to catch a fish, and it had the money in its mouth, and it was enough to pay for Jesus and Peter. So give everyone their due. Now let me ask you this. Do you find it difficult to give respect and honor to everyone who's in authority? Do you find it difficult to give respect and honor to anyone who's in authority? When I was growing up, my attitude was, because, you know, I knew everything when I was a teenager, that respect was to be earned and not given. Doesn't that sound good? Sounds good. Well, my attitude, that was my attitude towards my teachers in school. Like they needed to earn my 16-year-old respect. Come on. That's not right. You respect them because they have that place of authority. Whether you like it or not, or whether you think they're worthy of it or not, doesn't matter. God says to respect those that are in authority. Listen, Paul's writing this to a group of people who are being persecuted by the Caesar. And he's saying, give honor and respect to Caesar. You say, well, he doesn't deserve it. He's not worthy of it. He hasn't earned it from me. Does it matter? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we need to learn to respect and submit ourselves to God-ordained authorities. And only when their laws contradict a command of God, do we rebel against their authority. Is that clear as mud? All right, good. Verse 8, 9, and 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Don't owe anyone, owe no one anything but to love, because love is the fulfillment of the law. All right, let's walk through this. Can you be saved by keeping the law? Okay, so why does it matter if I fulfill the law? Well, here's what happens. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his spirit lives inside of you, and when you know him for the first time in your life, you know what love really is. We can't even comprehend what love is apart from Christ, not real love. But when his love that's been shed abroad on our hearts is in us, then we can for the first time learn how to love others. And now I'm not trying to keep the commandments. Jesus reiterated this. Here Paul reiterates this, that when you love your neighbor, you are fulfilling the law. How? Well, if I love Mike, I'm not going to lie to him. If I love Brother Tom, I'm not going to steal from him. If I love the people who live next to me, I'm not going to covet their things. It says, makes sense to everybody? Pretty simple, isn't it? Love fulfills it. If I love my neighbor, then I'm going to treat my neighbor right. And I love how this is placed here in Scripture. What we just talked about, obeying the authority. Well, here's the reality. If I love my neighbor, I'm going to be a great citizen in this country. Why do we have the laws? Well, we have laws like this. Don't steal people's stuff. We have laws that say don't hurt other people. Don't commit murder. We have laws that are there to protect people from what? Those who do not love their neighbor. You guys get it? And I can never fulfill this law until I'm born again by faith. I'll never be able to love my neighbor the way that I should until I'm born again. And when I'm born again, then I can live out what Jesus has done in me. Then I can be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. We think about the laws that we have in this country, and some of them are ridiculous, and some of them are actually really good. But at the baseline of all of our laws, it ought to be this: we ought to love our neighbor. I got to be more concerned about other people than I am myself. Can I say this? You people right here in this room and watching online ought to be the best citizens in Muldrow, Oklahoma, Sequoia County, wherever you live. We ought to be the best citizens because what we do in our life has been informed by, our behaviors are controlled by what we believe. We ought to be the best citizens, and we ought to be the best employees and employers. We ought to be the best of the best because we're walking with Jesus, because he's changed us from the inside out. Whatever walk you have in life, whatever you do, it ought to be that our reputation is good and it points others to Christ because we've been changed by him and his love. I'm going to ask you to stand. Musicians are going to come. We're going to stop right here and save verses 11 to 14 for later. But let me introduce it to you. Verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." What we believe from the Word of God ought to change the way that we live our lives, how we treat others. Submit to the God-given authorities and love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord's convicting your heart. A decision you need to make for Christ, you come as we sing. Page 5.